Here it is, y'all. Episode 1 of Season 2 of the Create Destroy podcast. I am your host, Anna Luno, and I'm so glad you're here with me because in this episode, I have 3 very simple but very effective tools to streamline your ability to work on the road, courtesy of the excellent, prolific, and consistent DJ Seinfeld. Now, for those unfamiliar with DJ Seinfeld, he's a Swedish-born, German-based DJ and producer. His world takeover began around 2016-17 alongside artists like DJ Boring, Ross from Friends, and Mallgrab. He released his debut album in 2017 on Lobster Theremin. The second was 2021 on Ninja Tune. These days, he's booked and busy all year round playing DJ sets. The music is sleek, club-driven, and not dialing down the emotional component and feeling that we love on the dance floor. So that said, let's find out how this man is playing over 100 shows a year while juggling album releases, shall we? Now, as I've mentioned in this podcast, throughout its inception, we often must start an idea before we feel fully ready. And the act of starting the idea helps define what the project is about. That is true for this podcast as well. Having this conversation helped define how this new season might work. So thanks for bearing with me on this one as I work it all out. Sit back, relax, and subscribe. This is DJ Seinfeld in conversation with me, Anna Luno, in January 2023. Let's do it. So I'm so happy you could be here as first guest. These episodes are all about giving our audience the tools they need to stay creating. And if there's one thing I've noticed from following you online, it's that you are always on the road. You have a very intense tour schedule. I mean, we played together earlier this year, maybe a couple, like the first couple of days of January. It is now the end of January. You're still in Australia. You've played every city I can think of. You're out here. So thank you for being here and thanks for taking time out to have a chat with us about it.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my honor.
So do you have any idea of how many shows you're doing a month or a year?
I don't really keep track of that, but I think that would scare me if I knew it too well. I know it's in the triple digits for sure. I think last year I did something, probably 130, 140 shows, something like that.
Wow. Do you still have an apartment or are you totally transient?
So I spend most of my sort of free time with my partner in Berlin. She has a house there and I go back and forth between Berlin and Sweden, a small town or a small city really called Malmo. And there I stay with my parents. So I don't really have a, you know, fixed place of my own per se, but I'm out here working a lot just because I want to buy a house soon. We'll see where that will be, but hopefully Sweden.
Life on the road for you for the next little while. So this is where it gets interesting because you also have a really solid release schedule. You know, you're really hitting the mark with your releases and doing it while traveling around and while being so mobile. And for a lot of the DJs and producers listening will know that that's not easy. That's really challenging. And I would love to break that down a little bit and see how you're managing to get good results out of yourself in these situations where everything's changing. You can't control all the circumstances around you. So you've managed to create some kind of normalcy in this touring environment. So before touring picked up, can you give us a little bit of a walk through your production history and how flow started for you?
Yeah, so I think I was making music for a long time, probably 8 or 9 years by now. And then I was always using it as a hobby and I was not really good at it for a long, long time. I don't really think I'm that good at the moment either, but I just use it as a hobby, and then as it happens with a lot of people, where you sort of whenever you feel stuck, you just stop working for a couple of weeks or months, and you feel like, oh, this is never going to happen. But then I think the one thing that has been sort of consistent in the way that I work is I become more disciplined. So also being on the road all the time means I don't really feel creative all the time. I feel I'm doing work. I'm working 24/7. So obviously creativity and like ideas for music, ideas for melodies and drums and whatnot, they sort of come secondhand a lot of the time. And because I don't have a studio either, I don't really have a place where I go and just make music. So I do try and be very disciplined. And nowadays, it's there are so many tutorials online with like technical things you can learn, and those are the things that over the last few years have sort of given me a few small revolutions, just in the change of my approach into like how what I can do with this new trick, a new effect, or something that other producers have figured out way before me. So I sort of depend a lot on these like scoping out new techniques, new stuff online, and then incorporating it that into my workflow. And then when I do have some time off, which is quite rare, I do feel very much more ready to make some songs, even though it can be quite hard. And I think I have had a relatively steady release schedule as well, but I think ideally, I think my sound has sort of gone back and forth. It's splattered all over the place, and I don't really have a problem with that, but I think it's sort of a result of what happens when you don't have when you don't really sit consistently with music and you just make whatever comes to heart.
I would love to be one of those people who can somehow separate what I see for my career and what I see for my releases and also just what happens to come out of me and like reconcile those two ideas and be really clinical about it. But that's not managed to happen for me either. But you, what you do manage to do is be so disciplined. And I love what you talk about with the tutorials, because it can be just as simple as using the time at the airport when you're sitting around to like listen to tutorials or to listen to a great podcast and keep your energy flowing that way, so that when you do get 2 hours in front of your laptop before the show, you've got an idea to try or you've got something that you want to bounce to and get started. So technically, on a basic level, how are you producing? Like, what does your on the road production setup look like?
It's just this very laptop and a few like Soviet era looking headphones.
All right.
But that's been the case for a long time. So it might sound very basic and budget, but it's completely fine for me.
And you don't outboard?
No, I don't really outboard anything. I just have a lot of VSTs and plugins. And the only problem is my computer's CPU capacity is just going down dramatically.
Hate that. CPU, our arch nemesis. So you managed to write your chords on the keyboard then?
Or I usually just map it out in my head or like on the screen.
But you just do it in MIDI. You just draw it in. And can you play piano?
Yeah, I mean, I played the piano for a long time, but even back then I was good at it, but I still really sucked with like reading the notes. Usually if I have a chord in mind or like in my head, I can sort of just experiment until I figure it out.
It gets there. So then how does the song usually start? If you're on the road and you're starting something, what usually comes out first for you? Are you starting with drums? Are you starting with bass? Where are you starting?
It really depends. I think now I'm trying to be more in album mode, which means for me the biggest focus is on melodies and harmonies and sometimes samples, but sampling has become such a arduous process now with like legal issues and clearing things and stuff like that. So I try and wait with samples until the very, very end part of the song, where it's either not necessary or just add some spice. But yeah, I think in album mode, I definitely try and think about melodies and like trying to make it pretty. And then I have like a preset folder of like different types of beats, like be it UK garage, be it house, be it something else, and I just use that as a standard template to bounce ideas against.
Oh, that's a good tip. So having a folder that has a whole bunch of basic drum options, so that when you have some chords down, you can just run through your drum options and see, you know, what might be fitting these chords.
Yeah, exactly. I only started doing that during my last album. I had a bunch of tracks where I had the ideas ready for the melodies and the chords, but for whatever reason, I wasn't really happy with the drums. What I did was just like happened to do it by accident was to like put in like a UK garage beat and realize what this is actually way better with this kind of tempo, this kind of style. And then I started doing that for a long time, and a lot of melodies and harmonies just got a different dimension to it if you either sped it up a little bit or slowed it down. And it really helps. And it also means that you can sort of see a different aspect of the track without having done too much work.
So you're starting with chords and then you're auditioning different drum loops and seeing what is feeling solid. Are you the kind of person who feels like drums really date the track?
Yeah, I think I mean, my first album, this like lo-fi house kind of thing, it was, I love certain tracks on it, but I can't listen back to it because the drums are just so, so bad. And like part of it was a conscious thing back in the day, but also part of it was, I was just not that good. I did what I could with what I had. so nowadays I'd like to think I'm a lot more into like polished drums, and I'm not looking for perfection all the time. Nowadays, when I'm doing a lot of clubby stuff or like playing a lot of club shows, I'd love to be able to play my own tracks out.
Right.
Which means if you want to have, you know, a good and bouncing dance floor, the mix better be really good. The drums better be on point. I think that is the part where I'm not that good at. I have tracks that are like banging, but then they're too banging.
I completely relate to that. And sometimes in the mix down, or I'm not sure if you mix all your own tracks or if you outsource mixing, but sometimes the mix comes back and when I actually get to play the mix in the set, I'm like, oh gosh, absolutely cooked it, overcooked it.
Yeah, no, that's very, very relatable. I think I do my own mix downs, but I sit with these headphones, so sometimes it's a bit of a risk to sort of take this thing that has only existed on this laptop and in my very basic headphones and then bringing it out to a stage for hundreds or thousands of people, and it's a risk, but you know, you gotta love the thrill sometimes. Sometimes you just gotta mix it out very, very quickly and then
right.
Hope nobody caught that.
You talked a little bit about discipline when I first mentioned touring on the road. So what does discipline on the road look like? How are you keeping good habits?
Well, I divide it into different parts. So like out here in Australia, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of things that I want to do. I go out and I live my life as a tourist when I'm not really playing or working. And also walking from destination to destination, like going to a restaurant, going to a cafe. In that time, I usually listen to tutorials. And if not tutorials, then just enjoying music. And I think everything coalesces at a certain point. There are different aspects of touring where it's literally like in and out. And those times, I don't try and be too ambitious, especially when I'm sometimes going to America and places like that, where it's, you know, you'll have a show in New York and then a 7-hour flight to LA and then another 4-hour flight to Vancouver or whatever it is. And it's all done in such a condensed amount of time that I just can't even think about it. I'm thinking about survival first and then music last. But and I think it's okay to not be 100% disciplined. I don't really know how I stack up against other people when it comes to those kind of things, but I'm very ambitious. So like I don't need long breaks in my life. I think even though I would love one, I don't need them.
Or you're not ready to take it right now, maybe.
That's it. Yeah, I don't. I haven't really had a long break, and since the start of this career, that was not imposed by the pandemic. I'm used to it by now, so I don't really know the difference. And I think if I was taking 2-3 months off, I would just feel like I'm forgotten and everyone's moved on. So I'd rather post selfies on Instagram and be like, no, I'm still here.
Guys, I'm still here and I'm still hot. Deal with it.
Oh, no, not the second part, but I'm just like, yeah, sorry, I'm going to make sad music for a little bit longer.
So what part of the production do you find easiest on the road and what is a struggle?
I find melodies the easiest on the road. I think whenever I do work on airplanes, I do it because it makes me tired and sleepy. So I have like especially on a long flight, if I sit with my computer and work in Ableton for an hour, I'm going to be falling asleep very, very soon thereafter. But because I'm also sitting with like AirPods, I know like the drums are not going to be that important to me. I just, like, as I said before, like some auditioning loops or some reference loops. And when you're up in the air, I mean, it sounds a little bit cheesy, but you have all these, you know, you look out and through the window and you feel emotional, you feel nothing, you feel all these ranges of emotions. So I experiment a lot with melodies on those planes. And
I get extra emotional on planes. I don't know if you watch movies sometimes on the planes, but I always cry. So I feel like you're absolutely hitting the nail on the head there. It's a really good time to use that energy and all that extra emotion and get it down.
That's it. I don't know how many times I cried to Interstellar, and just I know I'll be doing the same thing on my way back tomorrow.
That's what the album's called. It's called Interstellar, and it's just tracks that you wrote after you watched Interstellar.
It's either that or crying to Interstellar.
A great title for an album, I think. All right, so we're going to get three tips right here to give people to take away into their touring schedules and work on. I like how you said that you listened to podcasts and tutorials on the move. Is there a specific way that you bank your YouTube tutorials or whatever you want to watch? Like for me, I'll be opening a tab and leaving it there and waiting till I've got time. So do you have a special way that you literally keep the tabs on your phone, or do you have a notepad where you write them down? What's your habit there?
Well, on YouTube, I have a special folder called tutorials that I just like save everyone in, and then it's so easy to be maneuvering around it.
Oh, that's
and
a good one.
I do that all the time. Also, I think there's a stigma with like using presets nowadays that, I don't know, like chin strokers are like, oh, you just use a preset. And like, well, sometimes a preset is really good. And I think a lot of people get bogged down with doing like sound design and stuff like that, which is fun, which is fine. I just think don't waste too much time on those kind of things. Sometimes a preset is your best friend. There's going to be time enough for you at some point to be experimenting with those kind of things. I think it's just so easy to get lost in those kind of like sound designing kind of things every now and then. And I think it's not as important if you're desperate to release a record tomorrow, or like if you're just starting up, like going into sound design, it's probably going to be delaying that process for like a couple of years.
10 years, probably.
10 years, something like that. Yeah.
That's so true.
And I'm not saying that to detract from like the actual beauty of doing sound design. I barely know the basics of that. I just mess around until like get something that I like. But yeah, just avoid stigmas with those kind of things, because I know how many times people's like use that argument, and it's just so boring to me.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that I've become a lot better at, especially on the road, is picking out tracks that I like from other people and then referencing them to whatever you have. And like sometimes if I want to write like a sad track, I just sort of go through my Spotify. I usually find one or two, three artists who I didn't know about before, but I make a conscious effort of trying to explore something else. And it's been like, it sounds really like chin strokey, but like French jazz artists from the 60s. And most of it I don't really like, but every now and then you come across something that is just a lot different from the rest of the discography, and it's super beautiful. And it's completely changed like the way I was thinking about a few different tracks of mine. And I think sometimes it just helps to nerd out in a very specific way. And when you're on the road, it's just so easy to do that. It doesn't take any time, and you just, worst case, you listen to some French jazz.
And you do have to break the feedback loop of what everyone else is releasing, what everyone else is playing, having something new to bring to the table and referencing things that people aren't referencing. I think that's super important for the ecosystem and for, you know, the living, breathing ecosystem of dance music. We've all got to be bringing something new to the table.
100%, yeah.
All right, so I'm collating our tips right now. So we've got our YouTube tutorials. We've got a folder on our YouTube where we save our tutorials, have them on our phone, be ready to watch them while we're on the move, getting from place to place. You've got your drum folder where you're keeping your audition sample ready drums so that you can write your chords while you're watching Interstellar or other such emotional films high up in the sky, and then have those emotions ready to translate, get them down in your laptop, and have some drum loops ready to audition and hear different sounds. Love that. We also have, what was the third one? Oh, yes, French jazz. We're listening to different genres and we're dipping in, finding new inspiration and adding new ideas into our production, using those songs to kind of inform tracks that you're making.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's January. We're looking at our own lives and working out in what ways we can tweak and what we're doing looking forward. So for you, you're going into album mode. What are you going to tweak about your year this year when it comes to touring or when it comes to delivering music? What are you tweaking?
I think I'm going to try and be a lot more healthy, even having the occasional beer, the occasional wine. Over time, it just sort of all adds up. I'm getting a little bit anxious if it's like a coping mechanism or if it's like a reward kind of thing. And I just wanted to try and, yeah, become a lot more healthy.
Are you hitting the gym? Are you one of those people who are getting a gym workout in?
I am, yeah, but not enough again.
Not enough.
Not enough. I try and be like, I always start the tours really great. I'll hit the gym. I'll defeat the jet lag. And then after the first two shows, I'm like, yep, no, I'm not going to be, these push-ups are going to have to wait.
Yeah, I relate. They can wait. They just can. it's really hard to get motivated. I totally agree. Oh man, it's been years since I've actually done those push-ups, but yeah, it when you actually can get the routine going, it does feel really good. I've had those years where I've managed to find the flow with it and commit to it. You always feel better for it afterwards. You never regret it. And actually, when you're living on less sleep, it does this cosmic thing where it makes you need less sleep. It is definitely a key to it. I listened to this podcast about habit forming, and it said that you need three things to form a habit. So I'm going to share it with you and our listeners. So the first thing you need is you need a cue, like an audio cue to do the habit. So whether that's setting an alarm in your phone and having an audio cue that triggers it's time to go. You need to do the habit and have it be able to tick it off. So it has to be a specific task, whether that's do 20 push-ups, whether that's run for 5 kilometers on the treadmill, whatever that thing, it has to be, you have to be able to name it and tick it off. And the third thing is you need to reward yourself within 2 minutes psychologically, which I feel like if you give yourself some kind of reward, whether it's having your morning coffee, whether it's allowing yourself to scroll TikTok for 30 minutes, if that's your thing, or 20 minutes, 50, maybe 5 minutes, let's just keep it under control. Or, you know, go out and spend the morning just meditating under a tree somewhere, and wherever you are, find a habit to bookmark it so that you feel good about it. And psychologically that will imprint it in your brain and make it easier for you to want to do it next time.
I like that. That's really good.
Well, it sounds like an album is on the cards for you this year as well. So you're going to get back into your exercise, work towards that album, and good luck with that. And thank you for taking the time out to share some of your process. I appreciate it so much. And I'm sure it's going to be another big year ahead for you.
I hope so. Likewise.
Thank you, Armand.
Thank you, Anna. Hope to see you soon.
There it is. The best tools are simple but effective, and I really love what DJ Seinfeld gave us here. Since we had this chat a few months ago, I took his advice on the drum auditioning and I started a drum demo template in Ableton, which for me has been life-changing for my flow and helping get demos cooking faster than ever. I even took it a step further and made a little demo template with basic synth, bass and vocal chains ready to go. And I'm finding that I'm making tracks so much faster and easier. I mean, for me, that means less brain power being used to make music, which just makes it more likely that I'll reach for Ableton when I'm tired, which is massive. I also made a private playlist on my YouTube, and I will start saving my tutorials there for when I'm traveling. My toxic trait is having 87 tabs open on my laptop to come back to. So hopefully this tip will help me keep more organized on that front too. I also want to keep a list of artist albums to come back to when I have time walking through airports and such, so I can just listen to them passively. On my trip to the USA last week, I was listening to the Yves Tumor album on the road, which just honestly left me feeling inspired when normally I'd just be a brain dead airport zombie. So having the playlist ready to go means that on no sleep and without any headspace, you can make the most of your time, even on that 3 hours sleep that you got. This has been episode 1 of season 2 of Create Destroy the Toolkit series. Subscribe if you have not already and dig back into season 1. So much gold waiting for you to discover. They are great for a repeat listen as well if you need a refresher. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with a friend. Tag me and DJ Seinfeld online if you decide to implement any of these tips. And do reach out if you have something or someone that you would love me to have a talk to. My name is Anna Luno. Thank you for listening. In this lifetime, we do have a choice to create or destroy. Until next time, don't forget to stay on the side of creation.